you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show, everyone. Pleasure to be here. Thank you for the applause. Always well appreciated. This past weekend, we had Independence Day, 4th of July weekend, and there was a bunch of Tea Party 2.0 going on. So let me read you a little bit of information about what happened with that. More than 2,000 Tea Parties from coast to coast attracted hundreds of thousands of tax and big government protesters on Independence Day. Perhaps the biggest July 4th political event in America since the proclamation of the Declaration of Independence itself. I live in the little small town of Pahrump, Nevada, and we had one of these at the intersection of the two major highways going through town, Highway 160 and Highway 372. It was Recalls R Us, professing to recall all of the lousy, non-law-following, non-constitution-following elected officials. And I supported them quite a bit with that. From Washington to New York on the East Coast to L.A., and from Monterey on the West Coast to all points in between, Americans had their say Saturday about bailouts, cap and trade bills, and new federal spending programs that they believe are mortgaging their children's future and robbing them of personal freedom. Now, you may be aware that the current national debt sits at $550,000 per household. Now, that's whether you live in a house, an apartment, a condo, a cardboard box, or anything in between. If your household lives in a vehicle, guess what? You're $550,000 upside down in this deal as well. And now we're looking at Obamacare. What's going to happen with Obamacare? Obama's going to let you know what you can shoot up and how and when. I'm just waiting to see what he's going to fill that needle with. The turnouts that defied traditional 4th of July diversions, heat and rain, encouraged organizers looking forward to the next scheduled Tea Party events on September 12th in Washington, D.C. Nearly 5,000 people turned out in Oklahoma City at the state capitol building. That protest was one of 32 in Oklahoma alone. In San Antonio, Texas, between 3,000 and 4,000 people gathered in intense heat throughout the day at the Rio Cablono Ranch. Joe Weiselbacher, better known as Joe the Plumber, was one of the featured speakers, along with Governor Rick Perry, who became the first elected official to sign the Contract with the Constitution, a document that espouses 10 principles, including limiting the role of the federal government, protecting the right to bear arms, and amending the Constitution to define marriage as a union between one man and one woman. Now, I've got to tell you, I like the idea of the marriage being between one man and one woman. However, it's also a social-related subject, and I believe that should be left up to each state to handle on their own, not on a national basis. I don't think we should have social policies within the Constitution, just my two cents. In Washington, D.C., the center of expanding federal powers, about 2,000 small government advocates rallied to express their outrage at the trillion-dollar stimulus plans. All kinds of information coming out of these Tea Parties. We'll hit it when we come back as well. Today, I'm going to share with you an email from an anonymous naysayer who's obviously got his head buried somewhere where the sun should never shine. I will share with you that email and my response, or rather retort for that. And I hope, Mr. Anonymous, you're listening, because everyone else is going to enjoy your bashing. This is your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy.
Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443. And welcome back from the break. Continuing on about the tea parties, here's a quote from a fellow by the name of Sean Albert of Richmond, Virginia. They are wasting all of our money. They're not running our government like we would run our own checkbooks. When I'm out of money, I stop spending the money. Which is a rather interesting point, because if we're out of money, we still write a check. And that check ends up being no good, because there's no money in the account. What happens? Well, it goes to the district attorney's office, and we get prosecuted for writing a bad check. When the government's out of money, they just all sit around and vote themselves more money. And, you know, I've actually got one of my very best friends in the world, Justin Campbell, Handgun Combat Master number 43 in the studio. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
And I would like to just say, you know, I'm thinking I'm a little bit broke. I was going to vote myself a little bit more money today. How about you?
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Jay's about to go on a trip for a few days, and maybe he could vote himself a few extra bucks. So they just vote themselves some extra money, and then they go and they spend it. Hey, you know, we're gonna go down to the Treasury and have the Treasury go over to the Federal Reserve and ask the Federal Reserve to cut them a check of money they haven't quite printed up yet. Has no actual monetary value since we've been off the gold standard for so long. And then we're gonna just spend that willy-nilly. As a matter of fact, who's that jackass that's our vice president now? The guy that shoots his mouth off a lot, kind of like me, only he's a Democrat. Joe Biden. He says, we severely underestimated the economic crisis. You didn't underestimate squat. You just did what you wanted to, and now you're back in that, oh, you know what, it was our mistake. Wow, you ran headlong into something, passed a stimulus bill within a day, and you didn't really know what the score was before you did that. Well, imagine that, jackasses. Continuing on about the Tea Parties, hundreds also rallied in Atlanta, where event organizer Bob Frady told a crowd, it's time we take our country back. Imagine that. At Miller Park in Marietta, the Cobb Independence Day Tea Party continued into started Saturday, continued into second day on Sunday, with more than 2,000 people in attendance. Another 2,000 people gathered in Morristown, New Jersey to mark the nation's birthday with a protest of the growing size of the government. Some signed their names on an oversized version of the Declaration of Independence. Signs in the crowd read, "Save our Constitution, and America is no longer free." The truth of the matter is that our Constitution has gone out of control, said the Vermont attorney Steve Howard, as he spoke to an assembled crowd in Burlington, Virginia. I'm sorry, Burlington, Vermont. We may have let loose the leash, and now it's running rampant. Imagine that. I believe we did. We lost control of the leash a long time ago. In Louisville, Kentucky, where some 1,500 turned out, a lady by the name of Wendy Coswell, president of the local Tea Party organization, said, we're definitely for upholding the Constitution, what our forefathers laid out for us. So it was an honor for us to do it on Independence Day. The Texas former Solicitor General Ted Cruz told the crowd that America is, quote, facing the single greatest threat to our liberty we've ever seen. I believe that President Obama was elected because we failed to lead. But I also believe that his greatest legacy as president will be that he inspired a new generation of conservatives to rise up and defend our liberty. Hear ye. Absolutely hear ye. Couldn't agree more with you. I love all of it. Tea parties are great. Tea Party 3.0 is coming up on September 12th. Now, I would like to share with you an email that was sent to John Stadtmiller, president of RBN, Dave Champion of the Dave Champion Show, and myself. To John, first off, I listen to RBN for hours every day and have been since following the political cesspool to this station. Let's see. It's a shame they left. I suppose it was due to their time slot. I really like and respect RBN and feel the station reflects and asserts my position on issues and values. However, there is an issue that has really been bothering me for some time. Now he addresses to John, Bill, and Dave. Although I enjoy their shows for the first few times I heard them when they were not crossing the lines into being infomercials, it became obvious fairly quickly that Dave and Bill were let's say, little more than shills for the gun training industry, specifically Front Sight, spelled incorrectly. It gets very old hearing the constant shilling of proverbially expensive gun training by Carnes and Champion. If guns are as dangerous in the hands of the untrained, as they assert, there would be no Second Amendment. So their shilling of training works against their proclaimed purpose as pro-Second Amendment advocates. Yeah, Front Sight is such a good deal that they give their clients a free XD. Sounds like a great deal, right? The whole gun industry is a scam. A small gun part is often $45 because it has the word gun associated with it, and that would be under $1 for a non-gun related smaller part. The price of training, of course, is just as ridiculous. If there were actual integrity in the training industry, the prices would be more realistic so more people could get their training. You've got news for your shills. I'm sorry, I've got news for your shills. Shooting is not rocket science. Aim and shoot, much like a camera. I know you'll hate that one. Pick it apart on the air if you like. You harp on muscle memory and mental prep, blah, 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 ad nauseum. In fact, in a pinch, most people can assess a situation in a fraction of a second to determine if violence should be measured out or not. And most exchanges of fire are within 7 yards or so. In case you hadn't noticed, the country is going into depression. Not all gun owners have hundreds of dollars per month to spend on ammo and training. So you want to harp on cops shooting innocents as examples for training? You mean the trigger-happy power trippers that are held above the law and never held accountable for negligent and malicious abuse of power? Poor example and bias considering your backgrounds. And if a contemptible untrained bubba, as you assert, has to defend themselves with their gun, they're often faced with murder charges just to tangle them up in the meat-grinding system of injustice. So I surmise that a regular bubba has a lot more to consider before defending themselves with a lethal force than does your beloved law enforcement comrades. You are not doing RBN any favors by constantly shilling gun training. Your obvious bias as trainers selling your wares is a huge turnoff and really gets old and tiresome. It's a radio show. Is it a radio show or an infomercial? When today I caught the tail end of the 2A show, hearing Carnes' disingenuous sanctimony about how expensive our rights are and how the untrained have no business even using a gun in self-defense, I realized that I've heard about all I can stomach from the two gun trainer shills. It reminded me of con artists preaching prosperity. Consciousness and one's blessings are directly proportional to how much is given to the church. From now on, I'll be changing the station when Carnes and Champion shows come on. To Bill and Dave, as far as your sanctimonious breathing of those of us gun owners that are untrained, he says to off. Okay, and that comes from slowhandr@yahoo.com. slowhandr@yahoo.com. Let me tell you something here, Slowhander. First of all, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Evidently, you have never been shot at or had to shoot at anybody else. What happens is your eyes get into tunnel vision to the point where you might be able to see the head of a pin. You see nothing peripherally around you. If you're not prepared for that, you are in a world of hurt. If you don't know how to dictate to me the 4 universal firearm safety rules and the 3 basic fundamentals of marksmanship principles, or the 3 things that it takes to actually be successful in a gunfight, then you don't know what you're doing. And let me help you out. Grab a pen, grab a sheet of paper. By the way, if you have kids in the room, probably time to send them out as I retort. First of all, 4 universal firearm safety rules. Treat all guns as if they're loaded. Never point the muzzle at anything you're not willing to destroy. Keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. And be aware of your target, what's in line with it. 3 fundamental principles of marksmanship: sight alignment, sight picture, and trigger control. 3 things you need to survive in a gunfight: gun handling, marksmanship, and tactics. Now, slow hand, if you didn't know any of that because your slow brain was too ignorant to be able to figure it out, I feel sorry for you. Do you need training with a gun? Yes. Is it as simple as a camera? That's about the single most ignorant statement I've ever heard about guns. Something tells me you're from the left because you're so ignorant you care to throw these things out and not back anything up. For example, you said something along the lines of aim and shoot much like a camera, ignorant as could possibly be. You also said, fact is, in a pinch, most people can assess a situation in a fraction of a second to determine if violence should be measured out or not, and most exchanges of fire within 7 yards or so. Tell me where you get your facts, jackass. Tell me where you get your facts. Because the fact is, most people cannot assess something that quick. They are so blown out of the water by something that's happening. That's how criminals are successful. They use their surprise that people are in a couple of moments of, oh my God, what is going on, as they launch their attack. Otherwise, they wouldn't be victims, dummy! I'm sorry, but you can off. As a matter of fact, you can bag. How about that? Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. I invite you to find something else to listen to. Something that's a little bit more mundane. Maybe Rush Limbaugh would make you happy. Huh? Maybe something like the local radio station that plays elevator music. Ding, what floor are you on, slow hand? Obviously, it's in the basement where your brain is. It's down towards your feet, dummy. Enough of you. You don't deserve any more time on my show. This is Bill Carnes. I'll be back in a minute.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
And welcome back. By the way, that bumper is by none other than Janet Jackson. She wrote that song. It came off her Black Cat. I think Black Cat's the name of the song. It came off her, Revolution Nation album. Anyhow, a couple of people have emailed in and wondered. Janet Jackson not being so happy since yesterday her brother was laid to rest. I don't know. The guy goes from suspected child molester and freak to national folk hero of music in a day. I don't get it. Whatever. Not a huge fan, but you know, a couple things are right. I want to address an organization known as American Hunters and Shooters Association, AHSA for short. This is a group of guys who have gotten together, who are anti-gunners, who mask, rather than under something like the Brady Campaign to Stop Handgun Violence, or the Violence Policy Center, or the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence, these guys actually mask as hunters and shooters. They have a total of 1,500 members, probably a lot like Mr. Slowhand, just people who own guns, evidently, but, don't know the organization of which they belong. The American Hunters and Shooters Association has been around for years, but they still only have 1,500 people in the organization. Let me read to you a little bit about the people who were involved in AHSA. The founders and executives. Here's the first guy. The executive director of AHSA is a guy now by the name of Robert Ricker. He was a paid witness against the firearms industry for cases where plaintiffs attempted to hold gun manufacturers liable for the criminal misuse of products by third parties. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, I believe it was, a case against Bushmaster was dismissed in the D.C. sniper shootings of years ago. He takes a monthly salary, $3,000, and AHSA claims no more than 150 members who pay $25 dues. Pardon me, 150 members. I thought it was 1,500. $25 dues from 150 members monthly. The rest of the money comes from individual contributions, with the largest contributors on the AHSA board of directors. Paid an hourly fee of $225 to $250 for testimony and depositions in meetings with the Brady campaign. Rickers also consults for the Educational Fund to End Handgun Violence, in the educational arm of the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Also consults with Virginians for Public Safety. and they are lobbying for additional restrictions on law-abiding gun owners. Ray Schoenoke, he happens to be the president of AHSA. Mr. Schoenoke, his wife and daughter and son, have been generous donors to anti-gun candidates, including Al Gore, Barbara Boxer, Bill Clinton, Dianne Feinstein, Ted Kennedy, Carolyn McCarthy, and John Kerry. Mr. Schoenoke and his wife donated $10,000 to Handgun Control Incorporated in 2000, the predecessor to the Brady campaign. And Mr. Schoenoke's daughter and son each contributed $5,000 to Handgun Control Incorporated, a.k.a. Brady, in 2000. John Rosenthal, former president of HSA. Rosenthal is the leader of Stop Handgun Violence, the principal anti-gun group in the state of Massachusetts. Rosenthal is a former member of Handgun Control Incorporated's board of directors, now known as the Brady Campaign. Rosenthal has most recently focused his energy on voicing opposition to firearms advertisements during sporting events. Rosenthal resigned from HSA in May 2007, following his continued public involvement with gun ban group activities that drew unwanted attention to the clandestine anti-gun agenda of AHSA. Jody Powell, co-chairman of HSA and on the advisory board, press secretary for one of the most anti-gun U.S. administration, President Jimmy Carter. Richard Feldman, a paid consultant to AHSA. Now, he's paid, but again, they're only getting $25 a month from 150 guys, and one dude has already taken $3,000 out of the deal. He's the author of Ricochet, a book denouncing the NRA, and a paid consultant to anti-gun New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Joe Vince is a board member of AHSA, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives architect of the Clinton-Gore regulatory assault on the Second Amendment. As about as anti-gun as you can possibly be are the people who run and control the American Hunters and Shooters Association. And their little slogan, restoring pride in America's hunting and shooting heritage. Seriously? I'd like to thank the National Sports Shooting Foundation Incorporated out of Newton, Connecticut, for breaking the story and the background of all of these wolves in sheep's clothing. Should I say jackasses in an elephant's clothing when we're talking more about the Democrats and Republicans' logos or what? They're not a logo. I guess they're kind of a mascot. One's got a jackass, and then one's got an elephant. So these are jackasses in elephant's clothing. It drives me nuts when people do this sort of subversive stuff. Maybe we should get a bunch of pro-gun people to form what is referred to as a violent policy center sort of organization where we say sensible gun laws, and the sensible gun laws that we profess are national concealed carry, and everybody should be allowed to carry open, as is the decision in D.C. versus Heller, written by Anthony Scalia, said we can carry throughout the country. Stick around through the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Riot of the day comes from a fellow by the name of Brian Puckett, who wrote a memorandum on arms and freedom. I like to refer to it as, we will not disarm. So let me read this to you. It's time to speak plainly for the good citizens and patriots of this nation who believe unbendingly in the Constitution of the United States of America. Though foreign governments may disarm their subjects, we will not go down that road. We will not disarm and see our freedoms stripped away. The lessons of history are numerous, clear, and bloody. A disarmed population inevitably becomes an enslaved population. A disarmed population is without power, reduced to childlike obedience to and dependent upon the organs of a parental state. A disarmed population will lose, either piecemeal or in one sweeping act, those basic rights for which the citizens of America risked their lives and fortunes over 200 years ago. We will not disarm. The right to self-protection, the internal directive of every living creature, be it mouse or man, is the most fundamental right of all. It is a right that must be exercised against all predators of the streets, against the predators hidden within agencies of law enforcement, and against the most dangerous predators of all, those to be found in government, whose insidious grasping for power is relentless and never-ending. We will not disarm. Not in the face of robbers, rapists, and murderers who prey upon our families and friends, nor in the face of police and bureau agents who would turn a blind eye to the Constitution, who would betray the birthright of our countrymen, nor in the face of politicians of the lowest order, those who ponder to their ignorant, the weak, the fearful, the naive, those indebted to the virulent strain of the rich who insulate themselves from the dangers imposed upon the Americans and then preach disarmament. We will not surrender our handguns. We will not surrender our hunting arms, and we will not surrender our firearms of military pattern or military utility, nor the proper furnishings, nor the right to buy, to sell, or to manufacture such items. Firearms of military utility, which serve well and nobly in times of social disturbance as tools of defense for the law-abiding, serve also in the quiet role of prevention against both the criminal and the tyrannical. And armed citizenry, a well-regulated militia of the Second Amendment, properly armed with military firearms, is a powerful deterrent on both conscious and subconscious levels to those inclined towards governmental usurpations. An armed citizenry stands as a constant reminder to those in power that though they may violate our rights temporarily, they will not do so endlessly and without consequence. And should Americans again be confronted with the necessity of, may God forbid it, throwing off the chains of tyrannical and suffocating regime, firearms designed to answer that particular demands of warfare will provide the swiftest and most decisive means to this end. Any law which prohibits or limits a citizen's possession of firearms of military utility or the proper furnishings provides an open window through which a corrupt government will crawl to steal away the remainder of our firearms and our liberties. Any such law prohibits or limits a citizen's possession of firearms of military utility or their proper furnishings, being directly contrary to the letter and spirit of the Second Amendment, is inimical on the Constitution to the United States of America, to its citizens. Pardon me, I'd never seen that word before. Now today, we are witnessing the perilous times foreseen by the architects of the Constitution. There are times when our government is demanding, in the guise of measures of common good, the relinquishment of several rights guaranteed to the Americans in the Constitution, foremost among which is the right to keep and bear arms, is for our own defense. These are times when our government has abdicated its primary responsibility to provide for the security of its citizens. Swift and sure punishment of outlaws is absent, and in its place is offered the false remedy of disarming the law-abiding. Where this unconstitutional action has been given the force of law, it has failed to provide relief and has produced greater social disorder. The discord, in turn, now serves as the false basis for the demand that we give up other rights, and for the demand of more police, more agents of bureaucratic control to enforce the revocation of these rights. Legislators, judges, and law officers, must bear in mind that the foundation of their duties is to uphold the fundamental law of the land, the Constitution. They must bear in mind that the unconstitutional act of disarming one's fellow citizens will also disarm one's parents, spouse, brothers, sisters, children, and children's children. There are good citizens who, taking heed of Benjamin Franklin's admission that those who would give up essential liberties to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, will surrender not one of their rights. Those who eat away at our rights to own and use firearms are feeding on the roots of a plant over 2 centuries old, a plant whose blossom is the most free, most powerful nation ever to exist on this planet. The right to keep and bear arms is the taproot of this plant. All other rights were won at the point of a gun and will endure only at the point of a gun. Could they speak millions upon millions of words? Dead souls would testify to this truth. Millions upon millions of the living can also testify today. Now, today, is a critical moment in our history. Will we Americans passively lie down before a government growing disdainful of its best citizens? Or will we again declare, we are the government, government functions at our behest, government may not rescind our sacred rights? We will place our faith in the public servants who have behaved as though they were our masters. Are we going to do that? Or are we to place our faith in the words and deeds of the daring, far-seeing men and women whose blood, sweat, and tears brought forth this great nation? Will we believe those who assure us that the police officer will shield us from the criminals? Or we believe our eyes and ears, presented every day with news of our unarmed neighbors falling prey in their homes, on the streets, in places of work and play? Will we bow our heads to cowards and fools who will not learn and do not understand the lessons of human history? Or will we stand straight and assume the daily tasks and risks that liberty entails? Will we ignore even the lessons of this present era, which has seen the cruel oppression of millions on the continents of Europe, Asia, Africa, and South America, and believe that the continent of North America is immune to such political disease? Or will we wisely accept the realities of this world, wisely listen to and make use of the precautions provided by our ancestors? Will we, deceived by shameless liars who say that disarmed equals safety, helplessness equals strength, patriotism equals criminality? Or will we mark the word of our forefathers who wrote in plain language, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? Let us make known, we will choose the latter option in every case. Legislators, do your duty to your country. Uphold the Constitution as you swore to do. Do not shame yourselves by knocking loose the mighty keystone of this great republic, the right to keep and bear arms. Read and study the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution you swore to support. Justices, do your duty to your country. Examine the origins of our rights to weaponry and uphold the letter and spirit of the Constitution. Read and study the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution you swore to support. Lawmen, do your duty to your country. Do not be misguided and misused. Your task is to serve and to protect, not to oppress, disarm, and to make helpless your countrymen. To the blind, the ignorant, the apathetic, the safe and sheltered, these may seem to be concerns of another age. They are not. They are as vital as they have ever been throughout history. For times may change, but human nature does not. And it is to protect forever against the evil in human nature that the Founding Fathers set aside certain rights as inviolable. For these reasons, we must now make known, we will not passively take the path that leads to the tyranny. We will not go down that road. We will not disarm. Now, this Again, as written, I have to give credit where credit is due to a guy by the name of Brian Puckett. Well done. Very well done. I like how he points out towards the end, and that for times may change, but human nature does not, which is absolutely correct, which is why the Founding Fathers wrote not just the Declaration of Independence, not just the Constitution later, but also in their own writings, especially those who penned the Constitution, their own writings of why they wrote the Constitution the way they did, the interpretations of that by the actual people who constructed it, because they knew human nature is human nature. That's why the government is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's not supposed to be the people of the government, for the government, and by the government, which is really what we have done. The Obama regime that took essentially hostile control over of the White House in January of 2009 due to an illegitimate president who was born in Kenya have taken this country further onto the side of absolute socialism than any other government has ever gone towards socialism in such a short period of time without there having been a revolution or a coup. Now, we've had a bit of our own revolution in this country since the Kennedy administration decided that we need to start in the schools and work our way up. And in two or three generations, we'll be able to have the liberal, left-leaning socialist country that we so desire. And they achieved that goal in just short of 50 years from the Kennedy administration that was elected in 1960, took control in 1961, and the Obama regime that took over in 2009, just shy of 50 years. So hopefully you're breaking your arms, patting yourself on your back, you old bastards that are still alive from that era. Because now you're sowing what you reaped. America got so stupid, generation after generation, of the people who just wanted to believe whatever they were told, never wanted to look into anything, never wanted to research any history. Just bobbleheads, smack them on the head, that's good, vote for Obama, check. If there was an IQ test to actually have to be a registered voter, something tells me Obama would have never made it into office. I actually saw a video on YouTube of a woman of ethnic background. She's an African American. She's black. And she went to an Obama rally. She actually took her daughter out of school and took her daughter to the Obama rally. Yet again, getting another generation stupefied to this whole deal. She was interviewed by a news reporter. And said, I am so happy and so pleased to have heard this speech. This was a life-changing event for me. Now I no longer need to worry about putting gas in my tank or paying my mortgage. Because Obama is going to take care of those things for me. Seriously? I mean, really? Seriously? Are you so out of touch that that's what we're looking at doing? That somehow Obama's just going to provide free everything? At what cost? Who's going to pay for it? Oh, the government's going to pay for it. Where does the government get its money? Well, the government derives its money from a couple of different sources. One, they illegally tax the vast majority of Americans. And if you have any interest in finding out what that whole tax thing is all about, go to nontaxpayer.org and look it up. 95% of Americans have no legal obligation to ever have to pay taxes. You just got to get out of the system properly. They also get it through tariffs and import fees, and then they also borrow it. Now, I say borrow it, but in fact, they never pay it back. Do you understand that all the money that is owed, the United States borrows money from the people who actually print the money, for the most part. They control the printing of the money, and that is the feds, okay, the Federal Reserve Bank. They just create money out of thin air. So it exists. You can spend it now. And we're going to charge you interest on something that we created out of thin air. That interest, folks, at this point in time, is $75 million an hour. $75 million an hour. That's why every household in this country owes slightly more than $550,000 every household, whether you've got one or 23. And if you've got 23, either you're missing your green cards or you've got a couple of houses in one household. All right? Every household, $550,000. That is nearly double the median house that you can go buy in America today. Double. Over double the average cost of a house anywhere in the United States. From the most economical place to buy a house to the most expensive. Twice the price of the average home. How about that? Can you really afford to essentially triple your mortgage payment? Because if you could triple your mortgage payment, that means that in 30 years, we could pay off the national debt. Or we could actually get people in office that'll stop spending money that we don't have. End all of this pissing away of the money that the government does on so many areas and programs and wasteful spending that they do. And get fiscally responsible people. I think we need to start electing accountants to Capitol Hill. I think we need to have a businessman as president and accountants on Capitol Hill. Not lawyers. Sorry, guys. But I also believe you should write laws that are in plain English. And not something that needs to be interpreted by only a higher select few that have education above a sophomore in college. Because America is who you serve. More when we return. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, so I got a question for you all out there. What do we do now? What do we do now? We don't have any politicians on our side. The federal government is getting way too deep into our business, which should be reserved for the states. Even people at the state level, I mean, I told you a story about in Oregon, the Oregon House overwhelmingly passed a bill to keep CCW information private. The Senate, full of the liberals, wouldn't even take the measure up and decided it still should remain public information. So anybody can go to any sheriff in the state of Oregon and find out who there has concealed weapons permits. I don't really know what good information that would have, except for the people who are not on that list are going to be the people who are the potential victims of the bad guys. So maybe the bad guys should go get those lists, leave the people on it alone, and everybody else is a potential victim. That's the only way I can really see that list being of use, except that it's a matter of privacy, and it's nobody else's damn business. So we have politicians at all levels that suck. What are we going to do about it? Well, short of armed revolution, we need to get people in there who will actually follow the Constitution. But in order to do that, you got to realize the system itself is broken. Everybody who gets into office, for the most part, ends up getting whored out for their votes. They prostitute their own votes out to the highest bidder. Who's going to do them a favor? Who's going to donate to their campaign? Whatever. Who's going to give their brother-in-law a job? You know? That's really the way the system is. The system itself, behind the scenes, needs to be changed. The foundation, the Constitution, is the way to go. That's really the governmental foundation, the base mark, the benchmark, if you will. But when you've got different groups that go in there with money and prostitute the entire system, pretty much everybody's going to end up falling in line eventually. There needs to be reform. The thing is reform needs to be passed by the legislature. Well, since they're the ones, you know, neck deep in this filthy cesspool of corruption, they're not about to pass legislation that's going to cut themselves off at the knee or the neck because it's going to harm their own pockets. It's going to lose their brother-in-law that job. It's not going to put nearly as much money in their re-election coffer. I had come up with a thought before. Maybe this should be something along the lines of take a little bit of a test. Do you understand the government, the principles, the way it works, blah, da, 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 da. Then your name goes into a pool and you are selectively, randomly chosen to serve in the state or, you know, state house representative or senator, or up on Capitol Hill as a state representative or senator. Kind of like jury duty. The thing is, you got to be smart enough to do it, because right now the system is entirely broken and the people involved in the system suck terribly bad, and they've absolutely wrecked this country thus far. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive and judicial branches, all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thank you for spending your morning with me. I'll be here for you tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.